I wanted to give a big shout-out to Mr. and Mrs. Shelley Greenberger, to Shelley Greenberger for the idea, and to Mrs. Greenberger for typing up all the questions and going through everything. I think I'm just going to follow some of the questions and maybe add a few that people have called me with in the past week or two. It seems that there are two major issues that people are concerned with. One is, how do we deal with leaving for Pesach, leaving our house? Are we allowed to go back into our house? What do we have to sell? What don't we have to sell? What do we have to clean? What don't we have to clean? That's one. Another issue is, a lot of people are interested in toiletries and cosmetics, and that's something we're going to talk about also. And just cleaning certain things. So, first we should first discuss that, and this is something that I try to stress all the time, that cleaning for Pesach has nothing to do with dirt. It has nothing to do with spring cleaning. It doesn't have anything to do with getting rid of old clothes or cleaning windows or any of the like. Okay? Cleaning for Pesach has to do with chametz, specifically chametz. Okay? Now, in terms of how far one has to go to clean chametz, and how far does one have to reach to get to chametz, okay? Assuming a person is using the area, using his kitchen, using his whole house, a person is mechuyev to search and look for chametz and clean for chametz anywhere that chametz can reasonably be assumed to have gotten, to have reached, okay? If a person has little children, that could be anywhere. Remember when I was married a couple of years, we went on a Chalamay trip and we found a cookie in my son's sneaker. He had put a cookie in his sneaker. Who's going to be biting at the inside of his sneaker? And we went, he was wearing shoes before Pesach, and on Chalamay we went and put on his sneakers and we found a cookie. Mm-hmm. Children get everywhere. Okay? That is a very, very big yisoid. I'm sure people know that and in their own experience. So, it's one of the most arduous tasks, especially with young children, is to realize and be creative as to where they could have brought their chametz. Now, a question was asked about toys. Okay, how much do you have to clean toys? What do you have to be chashish for? Now, and the question that was specifically asked was, can I just put the toys away and not look at them until after Pesach? Am I allowed to do that? Is that a problem? Okay, so let's discuss the idea of putting it away and what that means by putting chametz away. Okay, all of you are familiar with the idea of mechiras chametz. Okay, mechiras chametz means we sell the chametz to the guy. The guy owns the chametz. Not only does he own the chametz, but we give him the place that the chametz is in, and we put a mechitza between chametz and between the guy's chametz and us. We're required to put that in a separate area. Okay. Now that separate area is delineated by a mechitza or a room or somewhere that is one cannot get to. Okay. That is the concept, and that's when it is mutter to do such a thing, to put it away. That's if you have chametz that you know about and you can put it away. So and you're not going to go to that makom. There is nothing wrong, okay, if you are afraid that your child has put chametz in the toys, and it's very arduous and it's a very difficult thing. A, if you think that there are just crumbs in it, you really have not much of a problem. Crumbs, you should know, are bottle. Crumbs are bottle. The problem with crumbs is you might come to eat them. You might come to use them. You might come in the course of your being in the house. However, if it's in a totally separate room and it's closed off, they're bottle. Now, the problem is if a child wants to, a child many times will have a pretzel or a cookie or something that's a real sheer, it's not just a crumb, it's a sheer of chametz, that is a difficult, okay? That is something that really has to be sold. Putting toys away and selling the chametz, as long as it's going to be sold and locked up and put away and you're not going to go to that makom ostensibly for the entire Pesach, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, as long as you're not going to go take those toys and use those toys, there is nothing wrong with doing that. What you should do is lock it up. Now, let me explain one thing. There is, aside from the fact that we're worried you're going to eat chametz, there is a chiyuv to be baidik at your house. Everybody knows there's a chiyuv to be baidik on the 14th at night. So, many people what this goes to the, this comes to the idea of leaving and going away. We're going to come to that in a minute. How does one not be by the chametz and still have chametz? If I'm going to put something in a room the night of the 14th and it's full of chametz, how am I not pleased to be by that area to find the chametz? Okay. So what we do, okay, now there is a chassan sofer that holds that as long as you know you're selling an area, you don't have to be by that area and it's not a problem. You can close off that area and it's not a problem. Okay. But what we do and what I do is I sell, make a special mechira on the 13th. Okay. When you make a special mechira on the 13th, I'm actually selling the chametz to the guy before the night of the 14th. So you don't own that area, you don't own that chametz, you don't have to check that area. Okay? So that is the ideal situation. Anything that you know, okay, that you definitely don't want to be baidik and you can't be baidik, it's too difficult. If you put that away and you sell that on the 13th, and whoever your rav is, whoever it is, some rabbanim do a mechira on the 13th, it's not a problem, you could do that. Now, this is also in play in terms of someone who is leaving for Pesach. If you're going away for Pesach, you're going out of you're leaving your home. Let's say you're going away for the entire Pesach. We know that when you leave your house, you are mechuyev to make a bedikah as long as you leave within 30 days of Pesach. If you leave within 30 days of Pesach, you're leaving your house in Brooklyn. You're going to upstate New York. You're going to Florida. You're going to Philadelphia. Wherever you're going, okay, you're not coming home. What do you have to do? Me'ikr hadin in halacha, what do you have to do? Halachically, okay? First I'm going to talk about the ikr halacha, and then I'm going to talk about the spirit of the law. In terms of the letter of the law, if you're going to sell your house, you're going to sell the chametz in the house and give the guy rishus and the whole, which is what we do, we sell the chametz and we rent the makom to the guy, everything that's in, wherever the chametz is in the house. A person does not have a responsibility to be baidik that house. However, and as long as he's going to sell it before the 14th, he can leave, and wherever he goes, he can be baidik over there. So, a person can leave his house, sell his chametz, and go away for Pesach. Now, when you're going away for Pesach, it depends where you're going. If you're going to your own hotel room, okay, or you're going to a hotel or going to an apartment, you're renting an apartment somewhere else. What one can do, is make a bedikah where they're going. Okay? If you're renting an apartment, you're renting a hotel room, you are mechuyev to make a bedikah there also. It's like your apartment. Okay? And it's a place that you don't know that there's not chametz there. In fact, I went with my family last Pesach. We went to a hotel of Chol HaMoed, and we made a bedikah with a bracha on Chol HaMoed, which you're mechuyev to do if you're renting a hotel room, and we found a Chinese fortune cookie under the bed. So it's something that you own that chametz, that's your chametz, that's your rishus. You're mechuyev to do that. It's like you rented an apartment. Okay. So halachically, a person can leave his house, sell his house, sell the chametz in his house, go somewhere else. But it is incumbent upon a person to do a bedikah somewhere. Where are they going to do that bedikah? If you're going to a hotel room, you're going to a hotel, you're going to an apartment, you can make the bedikah there. Okay. Let's say you're going, and you're going to someone else's house. Okay? You're staying over with someone. Or you're going, and you're going to arrive there after the time of bedikah. Let's say you're taking a flight. Okay? Erev Pesach. Okay? Let's say next Tuesday you're taking a flight to Miami, and you're going to get there, you're leaving, let's say, 6:30 on next Tuesday afternoon, and you're going to get there at 9:30. 10 o'clock, you're going to get to the hotel at 11 o'clock. Now, you're going to get to the person's house at 11 o'clock. They were already baidik their house. Where are you going to do your bedikah? Your home, your soul. Right? The chametz is full of chametz in your house. Okay, we'll discuss what you can sell, what you can't sell in a minute. But let's say it's full of chametz. You sold your house. Where do you do your bedikah? Where you're going, it's already baidik. What do you do? How do you or your husband or your family, how do you accomplish that? And that's something, by the way, in the hashkafa of it, children certainly should see their parents searching for chametz and looking for chametz and cleaning for chametz. The whole hashkafa of the yomtiv is that we get rid of the chametz, and it's not only the physical chametz, it's metaphysical chametz. We're looking to better ourselves and cleanse our homes in a ruchniyistic way, in a spiritual way. So what one should do in that scenario is, okay, in this specific scenario, what one should do is they should leave. clean one area of the house very well. An area that normally there's chametz. People eat there, the dining room, it could be the dining room, it could be the kitchen, it could be the living room. Okay? You can leave the rest of the house not clean. You clean the living room very, very well. You make a bedikah, you put out, you put, there are different minhagim, but you put out 10 pieces of chametz the night before you leave. Let's say if you're leaving Tuesday afternoon, Monday night, without a bracha, no bracha, and that's when I'm brother. You leave one area, and you can, and that in that way you can accomplish your chiyuv bedikah. Different scenario: you're not going to Florida, you're going upstate New York. When are you going? You're going to your in-laws for a whole Pesach. Well, you're going to your, let's say for a whole Pesach. You're leaving Erev Pesach. You're in your house the night of the bedikah, but you didn't exactly clean the house for Pesach. Okay, what do you do then? Okay. In that case, what you really should do is clean the house. Okay, you should clean the house, clean it from chametz, and make a bedikah. Put the chametz that you know you're selling away in specific places, and make sure it's away, and clean the house as best as you can, and make a bedikah. And your husband has to do it. Now, let's say that is very difficult. Okay. There is a way that we could do that in terms of we could sell the house on the 13th, and you can do the same thing, make a bedikah in one area, clean one area very, very well, make the bedikah in that area with a bracha, and then you can go away for Pesach. Now, the question was asked, what happens if we're sleeping in our house, but we're not eating in our house? What should we do? Now, this is a much bigger problem, because as we spoke before, even if you have crumbs in the house, there's a problem that you might, or things you might find around the house. If you don't clean well in the house, you might come to eat those things. You might come to pick something up, you find something in the couch, whatever it is, you might come to eat that. If you're staying at home, okay, and even if you're not eating in the house, the halacha is the following. You must clean the house, you have to be baidik all the areas. The kitchen, okay, or any area that you're going to have chametz, you should clearly mark off, okay? And in cabinets that you're not going to use, close them, tape them, and make a hecker on anything that has to do with food. In other words, the oven should be closed, because the oven is not kosher l'Pesach. There's a problem if you're living in the house, if you're staying in the house, if you're sleeping in the house, there's a problem that you might come to use the utensils, there's a problem you might come to open the refrigerator, you might come to open the cabinets. So everything should be closed, sealed, and so of course sold to the guy. All those things should be clearly, the linen clearly sealed. The countertops should be either covered or a hecker made on them, tape or something that you will remember not to use it for Pesach. Now, let's say I'm not sleeping at home, I'm not eating at home. This is another question of all the different variations here, but I want to be able to come into the house to get the kids' clothes and maybe have to get some sort of clothing. Okay, can I sell the house, move out before the night of the bedikah, move into my parents, my in-laws, and be able to come back and just get certain things? May Iker Hadin, one is allowed to do that. We ask reshus from the guy, even though we're selling the whole house to the guy. We ask reshus for the guy to do that, and one can do that. Okay. So in summation, I'm going to read off the question, so I'll just give you a little background. If you're going away for Pesach and the house is not being cleaned, okay, let's assume, can we come home to pick up a few things? What does one do in such a situation? If it's too difficult for them to clean the house, it's difficult, one should sell the house, sell all the chametz, and we do ask specific reshus. It's not a great thing to do. It is, the mechira, the idea of selling the chametz, there are some people who don't sell actual chametz, right? Some people, I personally don't, of my own, I won't sell bread or lasagna or pasta or any of those things. because initially, I'm not telling you that that's not halakhically valid. Initially, the whole mechira was really instituted because there was of a great loss of money if a person was to get rid of all his chametz. Okay, people had big whiskey factories. It was worth a lot of money. Okay, and they instituted this idea of you don't find the concept of an instituted mechira, of an institutionalized mechira in the Gemara. That's something that's much later. So there are people who don't sell actual chametz gomer. Okay, but halachically, most people on egg, many people on egg, and it's a valid mechira. It's 100% fine. You're allowed to do such a thing. Now, in selling the chametz, it's not a great thing not to have the concept and in hashkafically of cleaning the Pesach. It's something that we want. We want the children to see. It's very much part of the hashkafa of the Yom Kippur. It's not part of the hashkafa of the Yom Kippur to kill yourself and to drive you crazy, and to work to a terrible extreme. But the idea of cleaning the house from chametz and ridding ourselves of our chametz is a very important idea. So that being said, if the house, I'm just reading off this paper of questions that I got. I don't know who asked the question. So if we're going away for Pesach and the house is not being cleaned, okay, can we come home to just pick up a few things? The answer is, it's best if you clean the house as best you can, make the best bediki you can, and then you can go in. But if you didn't do that and you did sell the house, there is rishus asked from the guy, and we allow that. The question was asked, if going away for Pesach and the house is not cleaned out, how do we do bedikas chametz? If we are leaving several days before Pesach or Erev Yom Tov, I think I went through that. If you're leaving several days before Yom Tov, you could sell the whole house and make sure that the bechir is being done, whoever you're selling the chametz through, on Yud Gimel. Wherever you're going, you can make the bedika, whether you're renting a house, an apartment, or whether you are even staying at someone's house, you can partake in their bedika, and that is fine. Okay. Again, at number four, I don't know if anybody, does anybody have the sheet that I'm reading off of? Nobody got the sheet. Are you, what? I'm up to number four. Oh. If sleeping at home but eating all meals away, what needs to be done in the house? Again, we went through that. You should clean the house as best you can. The area of the kitchen, things should be clearly delineated and marked as to where the chametz is, and any kelim part of the house that any part of the kitchen that is not kosher to Pesach has to be marked. Now, you might want a coffee. By the way, that might be something you might, if you're sleeping at home, you might want a coffee. You might want to use the counter, use the stove top. You don't have to kosher your whole chicken to the kitchen to be able to make a coffee. Halachically, the oven is, I don't know, are people interested in knowing how to kosher the oven and what the best way to kosher the oven and the stovetop is? I can go through that if you want. It's not germane to the issue, I guess. But is the stovetop nageh? No. Wow. Okay. Is it? Okay. You might want to heat up water on top of the grates on your oven. What you would do before Pesach, before Chatzos on Pesach, before the fourth hour on Pesach, what you should do is turn the grates over on the oven, turn the stovetop on to its highest for 10 minutes, and that kosher for Pesach. There's no problem. Okay. Fine. I think I addressed your question that you emailed in terms of putting away the toys. You can put away the toys and lock it up, and it's not a problem. And you don't have to be barbecued or anything like that. Okay. Okay. Somebody did ask another question. When cleaning for Pastor Pesach, cleaning out the crumbs, and it's hard to reach those places, what is one responsible to do? Okay. The halacha is the following. Depending on where it is, if the crumbs are in a place that you are using, okay, we have the problem. You might come to those crumbs. You might have to eat those crumbs. Okay. Now the halacha in the Gemara is that if chametz is in a makom where it's impossible to get to, the Gemara's term is a naflo lav mapilus. If a wall falls on something, you're never going to get there. You're never going to get to that. Okay. You're not going to go to it. You're not going to get. If you would lose something there, it would be lost. Okay. If your child's toy would go behind the stove, you would go to Toys R Us. You would not move the stove off the wall, right? Refrigerator, easier to move. You don't have to go under the stove, under the bottom of the stove, and clean out that. You're not responsible. That's the case of Nuffalo of Mapalos. On the refrigerator would be different. If you have a cabinet that's very, very difficult for you to get to, what one should do is spray a spray that's stronger, like a Windex, something like that, deep into the, if you really can't get to it, something that would make the food inedible to even an animal, a dog, that's called Nifsal Me'achilas Kelev, and that's fine. Somebody asked me, it wasn't on the paper, somebody asked me about lining refrigerators and lining cabinets. Okay? Now, a refrigerator generally is a very smooth area. If you clean out the refrigerator well, Me'ikar Hadin, there is no reason to line a refrigerator. You really do not have to line a refrigerator. If it's an older refrigerator and has cracks and crevices and things like that, then things might have gotten behind something. If you're really frustrated for that, it's a fine thing to line your refrigerator. You really do not have to line your refrigerator. Okay? Ice cube trays should be changed. Okay? The thing that holds the ice cube trays should be changed. People go to those things with comments in their hands. But if you clean the refrigerator well, there is no response. You don't really have to do that. What about cabinets? Okay? Similar question to yours. If you have cabinets, if you're selling those cabinets, you're closing those cabinets, as long as you don't have actual comments there, you don't go there. If you're worried about crumbs, you can lock it up. You don't have to worry about crumbs. You don't have to worry about crumbs. If you're using those drawers, okay, for your silverware or for your dishes, okay, that is something that you have to clean out thoroughly, very, very well. Depending on the type of drawers you have, depending on how new your kitchen is, okay, depends on how much things get into the cracks and the crevices. Me'ikar Hadin, if it's cleaned well, you don't have to line your shelves if they're cleaned very, very well. Most people do. It's a many of these people do line their shelves just to be more careful. It's a fine thing to do, but it's not something to die about. Not that we're crazy about. If you clean the shelves well, it's fine. In terms of countertops, I don't know if anybody wants to know about marble, granite, those type of countertops. If it's germane to the issue, again, if nobody's making coffee, I don't think anybody's using the countertops. Please tell me. If it's not. Okay. We'll get to the cosmetics. I think people want to hear about the cosmetics. Okay. Now, there are very fat books that are written with a lot of different products and with lists and lists and lists of products that you can use, you can't use, that have chametz and that don't have chametz. I'd like to split these into three different categories. Medicine, cosmetics, and vitamins. Okay, really, medicine and vitamins are really two categories. You can really, The difference between the two is that one is ingested and one is not. One you actually put in your mouth and one you don't. Now, let me give you just a background of where this comes from, where the entire issue comes from. We just said that chametz that is nifsal me'achilas kelev, any chametz that before the Zman Isser on Erev Pesach becomes inedible to a dog, is not chametz. It's not chametz. It could be wheat. You could have cut the wheat. You could have kneaded the dough, and the dough has risen, okay? And it's a big challah. If it became nifsal me'achilas kelev, it is not chametz. Okay? It doesn't have a din of chametz. It's bottle. It's not chametz. Okay? So, this brings up the question, if you have your favorite perfume or cologne or base or eyeshadow or lipstick, generally you will not find a dog eating those things. It's not something that's royal achilas kelev. It's not something that really has any remez of food. It's not something that's really a food. So where does this all come from? Where does this entire idea come from? Where do these big books come from? Some are smaller, some are bigger. The idea is fine. I'm just going to give you a little bit of a background. when you come to a question like this, the question really is, why should it be usser, not why should it be mutter? Okay? There are three different positions in the Achronim that discuss a possible isra over here. One is, let's say you have perfume, right? Your perfume is made of some sort of wheat derivative alcohol. Wheat derivative alcohol is chametz, okay? But that wheat derivative alcohol, when it's mixed with, first of all, that which it becomes is probably in and of itself not royal achilas kelev when it's Right. And when you put it together with all the perfume, it's not something that a kelev is going to eat. When you put it together in soap or detergent or shampoo, if you have shampoo with beer in it, when it's full of soap, it's not roil achilas kelev. So the position of one of the achronim is that since chemically one can separate the two, so it still retains its identity as an achron. In other words, things that are nifsal me'achilas kelev are certain things that are spoiled that chemically you cannot extract the actual chametz, but over here you chemically could extract the chametz. That's one position in the stringency. Okay, there is another position in the stringency in that it could be that sicha kishtia. What does that mean, sicha kishtia? That means that rubbing something on yourself or putting something on yourself has a din, according to some paiskim, as if you're ingesting it. Okay, so over here this might be something that is as if you're ingesting it according to certain paiskim, and if you ingest chametz, that's not roil achilas kelev, that already is a different problem. That's something that we call, you are making it chashuv. In other words, if it's not roil achilas kelev, so it loses its identity as chametz. But if you're going to ingest it, you're going to eat it, right? You're going to take it into your mouth, so you have raised it up to a level, you've made it into an oichel. So if you're going to rub it on yourself, that sicha, rubbing it on yourself is almost as if you're eating it, so you're making it chashuv. That's another possibility. There is another possibility, which is that something that is made specifically not to be eaten doesn't lose its identity as chametz if it can't be eaten, because it's made for that specific purpose. These are all very strong, very unique positions, they're logical positions, but I must tell you, this is a chumrah. It's a fine chumrah, it's a chumrah that many people have taken on themselves. But it's not something to go crazy about. It's not something that you have to go through all your toiletries and all your cosmetics to drive yourself crazy to find out if you have to sell this, you have to put it away, you don't have to put it away. There are two issues. One, do you have to sell it? Almost, most definitely, you don't have to sell it. Can you use it? That's another level of chumrah. It would be fine, it's a fine chumrah to use a different type of cosmetic. It's a fine chumrah to use a different type of perfume or a different type of whatever toiletry that you're using. However, if you can't find a substitute, and it's something that's not roil achilas kelev, I must give a caveat. There are certain types of things. I know that when my children had chicken pox, I think Avino has some sort of an oatmeal type of a wash that they put on. I think that's actual oatmeal. It might not be nifsal me'achilas kelev. It's basically oatmeal with a little bit of stuff in it. And I think it's Avino. I think that's something that somebody, if you shouldn't give you, that should be sold. Also, I am aware now, I'm not sure if it's nifsal me'achilas kelev, Vaseline intensive care hand ointment. I just came across that it has oats in it. So I don't know that, I'm not sure that that's definitely nifsal me'achilas kelev. However, to, you know, all these different types of perfumes and to see if it has weed extracts or not, to certainly to sell it is a very big chumrah. Even to use it is a fine chumrah, it's a nice chumrah. But if you have a choice, even if you're going away, of cleaning your house well and doing a fine bedikah and showing your children a bedikah, or sitting through your medicine cabinet and going through all the ingredients on your on the back of the books, I would opt for cleaning as opposed to the. I think it's a much more important chumrah, it's much more important for chinuch, it's much more important for the whole hashgafa of the day, since this is a very, very big chumrah. Okay. Now, the question was asked in terms that was cosmetics and toiletries. Now, in terms of medication, okay, medication is a little bit more problematic. As we pointed out before, medication you're actually ingesting. You're taking it into your mouth. Now, when you're taking something into your mouth, we said there's a concept of actually you're making it chashuv, you're bringing it up a level, even though it's really the chametz that's in your this capsule of whatever it is it's not really right for an animal to eat. But you're creating, you're making it into an oichel. Is that something, when I'm ingesting the medication, the issue is the following. When I'm ingesting the medication, I'm ingesting it for the medication purposes. I'm not trying to make this, I'm not making the chametz in it chashuv. I'm looking just to eat, have the refuah of it. Therefore, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, Mitzvah Eliezer, all hold that any medication, even if it has chametz in it, as long as the chametz is nifsal me'achilas kelev, it cannot be ingested, it's not normal for an animal to eat, it's not right for an animal to eat, is mutter. Okay? However, the machmirim here are greater. There are many more of them. And there are many more of them, and there are many much more reason to be machmir when it comes to medication and different types of code. So what I'd like to discuss is different categories of people. Okay, let's say a person is a chayel sheyesh bo sakana. Person has health issues, heart condition, blood pressure medication. Person has depression medication. Okay, if a person has diabetes, elevated blood pressure, kidney disease, any of those things, they should not think twice. Okay, if there's no substitute to that medication, there is no reason for them to stop taking the medication. They must take that medication. That includes someone who has an infection, strep, any type of infection, unless it's a skin infection that really can spread to the rest of the body. But most any type of infection, there's no reason to look for any other antibiotic. Taking antibiotics, that is a chol sheyesh bo sakana. There is no problem with taking that in terms of problems. Any substitute medication. Then we have the category of a chol she'ein bo sakana. A chol she'ein bo sakana is someone who is sick. They're sick. They're bedridden. They have the flu. They could have any type of pain that is debilitating that puts them into bed. They could have an arthritis pain. They can have a back pain. As long as they're bedridden, a woman who gave birth within the past 30 days, okay, is a chol she'ein bo sakana. Any child under 6 who's sick, has any discomfort, has a din of chol she'ein bo sakana. The halacha, that person can swallow any tablet, any caplet, any type of pill. The difference over here is a liquid. Okay, a liquid or a chewable tablet is something that is more chomer, because a liquid or a chewable tablet, you're not just swallowing it, you're eating it, you're tasting it, and that is something that is a little bit, that's more problematic. And there are some shittas that hold that a liquid, when drinking a liquid, there's no such thing as nifsal me'achilas kel. So a person who's a chol she'ein bo sakana should not use liquid. A liquid type of medication, preferably that has chametz in it, but rather use a caplet or a pill. In terms of kidneys, okay, and now what somebody asked about Tylenol and those type of things, one should preferably get those type of things. That's someone who's really healthy. It's just the type of, or a vitamin or something like that. That's something that someone should look for, something that is not chametz thick at all. But in terms of kidneys is, I'm sure people are very familiar with kidneys. Kidneys, of course, for marshal, any extract of corn or any type of legume, any type of rice, or any such extract, or soy, is something that is not chametz. You don't have to sell it. The only problem is with ingesting it. You're allowed to have hanah from it. If you have talcum powder that has cornstarch in it, you can use it. You don't have to get rid of it. You can use it 100%. The only thing you're not allowed to do with that is ingest it. A sick person, we are not machmir when it comes to kidneys. So a sick person, any pill that has cornstarch in it, it's not a problem. Now, question: of course, there are children that have to eat soy formula. They can't eat a milk-based formula. There is absolutely no problem with using soy formula. It's 100% mutter. You should just not prepare it in the kitchen. If you prepare it in the kitchen, there's a chash that it might get mixed with other foods, with foods that you're going to eat, and that would be a problem. So you should not mix that in the kitchen, any soy-based formula or anything like that. Somebody asked me a question about milk, okay? Now, if you can't find milk with a hashkocha, generally milk is not a problem on Pesach. Except, this is a very important point, so that's why on Pesach you should certainly get milk that's special Pesach and that's called Yisrael. But if you find yourself in a place that you can only find a milk, okay, there is a problem, milk that doesn't have hashkocha, there could be a very big problem, because there are many milk farms, many dairy farms that not only produce milk, but they produce milk products that do have chametz in them, like a chocolate milk that has a malt extract. Malt is absolute chametz. I don't know if anybody has children that have stomach problems. You know, there's something called malt supex that helps children regulate themselves. That is chametz gomer. That's something that should not be used on Pesach. Okay, they should find out, using this milk, it has to be from a dairy farm that does not use malt milk extract. Okay. Now, the question was, another question was asked in terms of pacifiers and baby bottle. Yes?
Sure.
Sure.
I have a choice.
Conventional
beer, and not the one.
What's wrong with the milk formula?
My son can't be on the standard milk formula.
Right. Well, if it's OUD and it's not kosher based, why is it not kosher based with the OUD? So they might use, so you probably are better off using the soy. Unless you could find out, you probably could find out from the OU. And they might tell you, they might not put a P on it because it might have kidneys in it also. That might be why they don't put a P on it. That's fine. It's fine. A child, a baby, has a din of a fellowship, so it's not a problem. It's not a problem. Question was asked in terms of pacifiers. Okay, do you have to buy new pacifiers? Do you have to buy new bottles? Do you have to, what do you have to do with nipples and the like? It really depends. If you boil everybody knows that when you buy new nipples and new pacifiers, you're supposed to boil them. If you boil them in a chametz tikka pot, and clean them with other chametz tikka things, one should preferably buy new pacifiers and new bottles. Certainly, if a child is of age that they eat chametz, then a person should use special bottles for Pesach. Okay. When cleaning car seats, baby carriages, toys, how careful do we have to be with stains or sticky substances that might be stuck to the material? Okay. That's the first thing. You're not supposed to feed your kids in the car. Big problem. What you should do in such a situation is the liner of your car seat, you take it and you put it in your washing machine and you wash it and then you put it back on your car seat. You should look in the... when you take off the liner, you should look at the crevices to see if there are any chametz. You can spray it with Windex, clean it out. Don't drive yourself crazy with sticky substances. As long as you clean it and it doesn't come off, there's no problem with it. In terms of sticky, if you would have a sticky substance on your stove, which nobody wants to hear about, that would be another issue, but nobody's looking to clean their stove, so that's it. And in terms of these things, you really don't, these little minute pirurim is not something that you have to drive yourself crazy about. Dishwashing soap, paper towels, this is a big thing, paper towels, they make a big deal out of it, the paper towels, that they might have starch on the paper towels, and if they have starch on the paper towels, then you're going to trafe your whole kitchen. The best thing that starch can do for your kitchen is create some sort of kidney-based starch, which you're not, most of them are not going to have wheat starches. I don't think they have use wheat starches. I was told by Rav Zimmerman about 20 years ago, there was an issue about paper plates, and the paper plates were coated with cornstarch. So I asked him the question, and he got up at the Shabbos Hagadol Drasha, and he said, you can eat your filter fish on those plates. As long as you don't eat anything hot, wet on those plates, it's not a problem. You can take your paper towels and you can wash anything you want with it, and it's not a problem. Dishwashing soap is certainly, I wouldn't feed it to anybody's dog if I wanted them to live, and it's not a problem. You're not ingesting it. You can clean with it. You don't need a picture on that. Okay. Another person called me with another question today, a very interesting question. Let's say you bruk. You eat your bruks. But your in-laws or your friends do not eat kibrutz. What should one do in terms of, are they allowed to come to your house? Are you allowed to feed them? What should you do? What kind of pots should you use? The halacha on Pesach is that if you're using a pot that's 24 hours old, that has not been used for chametz for 24 hours, so using that pot now, at the end of the day, the food will not become usher if you use that pot after 24 hours. That's called nosen tam lefgam. It's not a ben yomo. It's not something that was used that day. Okay? What one should do in that scenario is cook any food that they're cooking in a pot that was not used within the past 24 hours with gebrucht food. In other words, if you had chicken soup with knedlach on Wednesday night, you should not use that pot for your in-laws who don't bruck. Within the next 24 hours, you should use a different pot, and then it would all be fine. And if anybody has any questions, please. Yes, sure. If they're sick, if they're not feeling. Yes. Well, what you should do then is if you should probably, you should, the best thing to do would be to take something that's not a chewable and mix it into some applesauce or something like that. That would be the best thing. If they can't take it, you can give it to them. Any questions? I mean, Pesach is a lot. There's like a lot of laws. I just went with the questions. I don't know.
So do I assume that the Jewish company is taking it as
sure. You can get it. All Tylenol. All Tylenol. All the liquid Tylenols and the liquid Motrin. I mean, if you want to know what's kosher and what's not, I have a very authoritative list. There are some lists that I would not definitely trust. So, I recommend the Los Angeles Co's, Dark Hick Co's booklet. It's a small, very thin. It's a thin booklet. You can get it in any bookstore. Yeah. There is another thing. If you're staying home and the like, you want to use your sink. Is that germane to anyone using the sink? Okay, his kitchen sink. Okay. I got a live one. In terms of using a sink, if you're going to be using hot things in that sink or anything hot in that sink, you should kosher that sink. How do you kosher the sink? What is it made of? Stainless steel. Great. Don't use it with hot for the 24 hours before you kosher. Before, let's say until you stop using it next Monday night. Okay. The way to kosher that sink is to pour boiling hot water on every part of the sink and on the spout. And if you didn't use it with hot for 24 hours before, that's 100% kosher. You don't have to line it. You don't have to do anything. Something else. I don't know what people are interested in. Please ask. That's it. Okay. Everybody should have a chag kosher v'sameach and a relaxing Yom Tov. Don't think about it.